Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League. Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose's Premier League debut!
Got it lost under his feet, and it's come for Lamella!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's Most Dangerous Tottenham Hotspur Podcast. I'm your host, Greg, and I am joined by two of the replacements this week. We are rotating here on Wheeler Dealer Radio. We have one member of our illustrious cast going to England. We have another who is big-time Charlie-ing us. But we have two of our more dependable replacements here today. They've been working hard on the bench. On the training ground, they've impressed us coaches, so we're bringing them up for some rotation. Leading us off, we have our most regular replacement. We have Vince. Vince, how's it going today?
It's going all right. I have a lime juice and rum on ice court right now.
No. We don't talk about what the drink of the week is on Wheeler Dealer Radio.
I'm sorry. I was trying to bring my freshness. You know, like a sub brings in the fresh legs. I was trying to bring a fresh approach.
No, we want you to fit the system, not disrupt it, Vince. Come on.
Well, in that respect, I like to see myself as kind of like the midfield replacement around the 65th minute mark, where you know maybe you need a little injection of energy just to keep the quality up.
So you're the Ryan Mason of our podcast, is what you're trying to say.
I'm not as good as that guy.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah. You know, maybe more like a Jamie O'Hara. That's what I'm looking to be.
As long as you're setting your high standards for yourself, that's what matters. Next up, from the Great White North, from a member of the Commonwealth, so has more of a right to be a Spurs fan than the rest of us, perhaps, but about to head to White Hart Lane for our match against Bournemouth, we have Willie. Willie, welcome back to the podcast.
Great to be back. You know, thanks for calling me up. I kind of feel like Kieran Trippier when he gets his, biannual call up to play against Watford to ping in crosses and, you know, look like a world beater. So it's great to be here. And I'd just like to say that, you know, it's the start of the NHL playoffs tonight, the National Hockey League. And I'm in a weird spot because the hockey team that I follow, the Detroit Red Wings, they're not in the playoffs for the first time in 25 years, and Tottenham are second in the league, and my world's all fucked up.
Man, next thing you know, they're going to be playing baseball in Montreal, and you're not going to know what to do with yourself.
Exactly. It's just like that. Like I don't know what's going to happen next. It's all weird, but it's good.
So let's talk about inverted expectations. Tottenham beat Watford 4-0 incredibly comfortably this week. Just an absolute thrashing. I feel like Watford was playing well for the first 15 or so minutes, and by well, I mean we weren't completely running them off the pitch. And then sort of Tottenham started turning the screws, and they looked like they were out of it from the second, you know, we scored our first goal. We were talking about this a little bit before the podcast, but I mean, Vince, we were saying how, and I know we've had this conversation on this podcast before, but this game just really kind of underlined it for me. We didn't used to have games like this, or at least I don't remember. I can't remember a time when I was a Spurs fan or anyone I know personally who's a Spurs fan who saw Tottenham regularly, comfortably thrashing teams. Even the year we made the Champions League, even some of Bale's best years, it felt like games like this were a much more erratic occurrence than something you could rely on. And even though we were sort of probably beating your Watfords more often than not, we weren't just smothering them and playing them out of the game. Have you gotten used to this yet? Is this something you think we're going to keep up? It's a very strange experience for me.
It's something I've only just gotten used to. And a guy at work asks me to watch, you know, football matches from time to time. And I usually, you know, kind of push him away because he's not a Spurs supporter. I keep him at arm's length, but he asked about, he's a Liverpool supporter. He's a really nice guy. I just don't have much interest in like discussing, you know, Spurs with him, or, you know, if God forbid, if he wants to talk about Liverpool, I don't want to do that. So, but he asked, he's like, well, what do you guys think? And I said, you know what? any other year, I would say, like, this is a game that we slip up, right? This is a classic game. But I said this year, we're gonna trash them. We're gonna run them right in the ground. We just aren't what we used to be. And I think I've finally gotten used to it. It took a long time to get that kind of, you know, defeatist attitude out of my system. But we are just a different team. I don't know if that's by virtue of, like, we're focused when we have the ball and we're focused when we don't have the ball now. Whereas, like, you pointed to some teams that were really great, you know, where we had great individual talent. But I would never say that, like, those teams with Bale and Van der Vaart and Modric, that we were really good without the ball. Like, we weren't hunting in packs to get it back. We weren't, you know, we weren't necessarily always, you know, super organized. I mean, one of the great hallmarks of the Harry years were when we were getting shootouts with, you know, big teams, you know, it'd be like, well, we were open as a barn door, weren't we? Because, you know, we were running 4-4-2 with Huddleston and Modric, and, you know, teams were going to get at us a little bit. So, yeah, you know, it's not something that I was, you know, used to up until very recently, but I think I can get used to it. And I like it. It's a really good feeling.
Willie, how much do you think Tottenham's sort of smothering defense plays into this? Because a lot of the guys who get the headlines on Spurs are, you know, Dele Alli and Harry Kane, and to a much lesser extent, for reasons I don't fully understand, Christian Eriksen. But I think in a lot of ways, you know, having such a good defense, especially now that we're playing with a back three, is maybe sort of facilitating these kinds of wins, because Watford, you know, teams like that are getting even fewer opportunities than they might otherwise would. Do you think there's anything to that?
Yeah, I think there is. And I think, I mean, it is the fact that, you know, like, we do have three strong players when we play back three. And even when we go, like we went this past game, you know, where Dyer slotted into midfield when Wanyama's out, it's still like, it's still strong. We have lots of, you know, there's a real spine to the team, whether it's 3-4-3 or 4-2-3-1. But I think the other thing that plays a role in that is just the pressing. And that comes from everyone, right? Like, Eriksen tracking constantly, pressing, harrying. Like, Dele Alli, same thing. Son, same thing. Just, you know, there's that, like Vince said, hunting in packs. Like, the press is so well drilled that it just seems to be that we know how to defend, and that there seems to be too an awareness now to compensate for, say, when Ben Davis is on the field, that, you know, he doesn't have Rose's pace, so Vertonghen seems to have a better sense of how to compensate for that, or the team adjusts to it. So I think it's just there's a comfort level in that the tactics are so well drilled now with that shape and formation and how we play, that it is hard for teams to get anything through, especially if you're like your middle of the table kind of clubs, you know, when we come up against them, because it's just they get frustrated by what we do, and it might not always. We might not always be right off the mark to start with offensively, but still it seems to be that our defense, like, it's drilled enough that, you know, it's not like a team is really pounding on the door unless we just start poorly.
Yeah, I think the other thing that works, I think you hit on it, Willie, is that, you know, we really, every part of this team is looking to transition into attack. So it's not just that we have a strong defense, it's that we have strong defenders who are able to sort of immediately, like, you know, Toby's able to hit those long diagonals. You know, Vertonghen's able to take the ball forward. When we have Rose or Walker, they obviously play a huge role in getting us up and down the field. And then, you know, at the same time, we're running that press, and, you know, we're defending all over the pitch, we're trying to get the ball back. I don't know, it works really well, and I know pressing's sort of in vogue in world football right now, so, you know, I'm not sure if teams are eventually going to figure it out, but it's working really well right now, and it's giving us, you know, some of our best results in ages. And I think it shows how good Chelsea have been this year, that, you know, the margins are so thin between, you know, we've had relatively few slip ups, you know, for any team, not just the Spurs team, and we're, you know, long shot for the title, which I think sort of tells you how good Chelsea have been, but also how good we've been.
Right. And it's also, I mean, the other thing too is our away form just isn't there yet. That's the other kind of side of the coin too. You know, that we've had draws, and we haven't maybe taken, especially against the top six teams, you know, we haven't taken all the points we should have when we've been away from home. And that seems to be the one last piece that hasn't quite fit in yet. And I don't really know what the answer is to that, but if that can click and, you know, we can get those points, then it would all of a sudden be an even closer race than it is. Because Chelsea, you're right, has been incredible, but we've also left points behind from time to time.
And some of that's down to injury, but I think some of it's down to, we seem to have figured our tactics out better this year, whether that's just a matter of Pochettino had to figure out how to play without key players, or he just sort of figured out a better use of the system. But, I mean, we've looked way better since we switched to a back three.
Well, yeah. I'd also say, I mean, I think, once again, it's just that you need an outlet from the back. I think teams can press two center backs when Dembele and Wanyama are in a pivot. I think when Dyer, Toby, and Jan are on the pitch, it's incredibly hard to press all three of them, and then you have an outlet from the back. I think it comes down to that. Those three players have to be on the pitch no matter what it is, and that's the key. However, what I'll say is I think tactically, sure, yeah, we've figured some of those things out. But also, don't overlook that, like, Wanyama and Winks are the midfielders now, like, where Mason or, like, Bentaleb were playing. You know, that's a big thing to have. You know, of course, now there's been some injuries, but for the most part, we've had those three midfielders healthy all year. And those guys are such an upgrade over, you know, our third midfielder last year that it's really amazing, because anytime that Dembele or Dyer didn't play last year, we were basically relegation form. We've been able to ride that out this year. And it really does show how important the midfield is, because we've had injuries to the back line and we've had injuries to Harry. We've still been able to maintain, you know, more or less, you know, a very good form. I mean, not even more or less. We're second in the league. You know, the best form we've had in 30 or 40 years.
So let's focus a little bit on this game itself. I don't think there's many holes to poke in this performance. Like I said, we started off a little slow. But after that, it was just sort of, you know, Dele Alli, Eric Dyer, Heung-min Son, just everybody, you know, Eriksen, just really, I mean, running the show and just having a very impressed performance. I mean, Willie, who was your sort of man of the match? Whose performance stood out the most to you?
I mean, I would probably say Heung-min Son again, just because, I mean, he's been so good and so kind of relentless. Just in running all the time and consistently, you know, trying to get himself into spots, and he's been able to pick up that scoring load. And so it's just been, I don't know, for me, his effort throughout the whole game, you know, throughout the last however many matches, three or whatever, you know, since Kane's been out as well. Like, it's just been that effort from him is just so good. And it's so, the fact that we have that ability to move him on the wing or to the number nine, and that he plays, you know, with such just relentlessness, I think it adds a different style to how things go. And he just, I don't know, he's just been incredible the last little bit. So I think for me, he was definitely my man of the match. I mean, not to discount Dele Alli's goal, which was stupid.
I know he's, since Lamella sort of died, which was quite a while ago, he's been more or less a starter for Spurs. But I think it can't be understated how valuable it's been to have a sort of a 12th man, a guy who's not a penciled-in starter every week, who's as good and as productive as Son is. And I think we've been searching for that kind of player for years, and it's been kind of a revelation to have that this year, not only in terms of someone you can bring off the bench, but also a guy you can bring as a starter when people get hurt. And it's the kind of thing that Spurs have had a lot of trouble just by virtue of their profile and, you know, sort of what they're aiming for. They've had trouble getting those guys for a long time, and it's made a real difference this year. Vince, who was your...
I mean, we did sign Moussa Sissoko, and I mean, that was him, you know? And,
well, it was such a bargain buy, you know? I mean, I don't know if that really counts compared to the others. Vince, who was your... who impressed you most in this match?
Not that they impressed me necessarily, but I think just like as a one-off, I think you honestly have to talk about after Son, and you know, there's a lot of good performances, just on the sheer number of chances he created. Kieran Trippier created an insane amount of chances.
This match is Kieran Trippier's, you know, day in the sun. It is what he exists for. Spurs break him out of, like, you know, they thaw him out in the basement because it's time to play Watford.
And if he was just running the byline and, like, smashing the ball in aimlessly, I wouldn't be saying that. And I don't think Kieran Trippier should start. I don't think he's a particularly nuanced, great defender when he has to play against a good team or a good opponent. But in these matches where we're going to be attacking most of the time, he's fairly useful. Like, he was picking balls out. I particularly remember where we got his head up, and he kind of, like, it was a cross into Harry, and Harry just narrowly missed getting his head to it. But, like, it was purposeful. Like, he was aiming for a spot, and he almost hit it, which is kind of hard to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to put a ball within, like, a, you know, kind of like almost like in baseball, a strike zone, but with your foot and hitting a moving player. Like, he was really on point with his delivery. And, you know, if Jansen, you know, wasn't Jansen and could put a ball in the back of the net, you know, he would have easily had 2 assists. You know, that being said, he was just a constant threat, and he actually did come up with 1 assist, I believe, to Sonny, who volleyed home one at the back post, I think, for the 4th, right?
I believe you're right, yeah.
Okay,
but I don't know, though. I just don't like Trippier's fine in games like this. Like, you can play him against a bad team that's not going to, like, really test his defensive capabilities. But between his speed and his defensive instincts, I'm never super comfortable with him out there.
I don't know. Like I said, you know, in games like this, I'm comfortable with him out there. In the 3-4-3, I'm more comfortable with him out there because this is his role, basically, just to get forward. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's an elite defender at all. I think he makes a lot of silly decisions, you know, defending when he's really put under it. But I mean, that doesn't change the one-off of this game where he was, you know, for more or less brilliant with his delivery. So my whole thing is, like, if we're going to celebrate Christian Eriksen for creating 5 chances in a match, it's not fair if we don't celebrate, you know, Kieran Trippier doing the very same thing.
That's true. I mean, the question isn't, was Kieran Trippier good in this game? I think he was. It's just, is Kieran Trippier good enough to be a bench player for Tottenham? And
that's why they call it man of the match, Greg.
I know. It's just, I hate that. I hate when we get into heavy fixture congestion, like, inevitably he has to play against some good teams, and I feel like it's never good. So speaking of less than ideal fullbacks, Ben Davies played for us again in this match, and I don't think he was particularly a problem in this match, but I don't know. The longer we have him in there, the more I miss Danny Rose. I mean, I don't think Davies has acquitted himself very well in this sort of span of games. Willie, are you fine with him as a backup? Because generally speaking, I've been where I am not wild about Trippier as a backup. I think Davies is, for a team of Spurs quality, I think Davies is sort of fine as a backup. But
yeah, I mean, I think, like, I have no problem with Ben Davies as a backup. I think that's fine. My concern is, you know, he's played every match now since Rose went down. So this weekend will be his 4th in a row. And it's just kind of like, I'm worried about the wear and tear there in one sense, because it's like, if he goes down, then what do we do?
And I thought it looked like we've been testing out in Kudu for, like, a left wing back position, which sort of works with our back three. But, and God, if there was any game where we were going to test it out at this point in the year, like, Watford is it. And we sort of declined to do that. So I was
right
down
and
by that.
No, and I agree with that. I mean, I think that we need another option, because the thing is, like, Davis is fine, but he's not Danny Rose. And you can't discount what Rose's, like, ability to run and to put pressure on by the sheer fact that he's, you know, got the ability to be an attacker as well and really contribute, right? Because when he and Walker are both playing, when we have that first choice fullback pairing, like, that's terrifying. You've got two guys who will just go up and down the whole time as threats to attack, and the pressure that puts on the team is really intense. And, like, Davis can get up and attack, but he's just not that player, because he can't recover with the same pace as Danny Rose. And I mean, we've been fine because we haven't really had played against teams with someone who can really expose the fact that Davis is a little bit slower and you know, on the wing is kind of a bit isolated from time to time. But with like the FA Cup semifinal coming up, it's kind of what's going to happen here if Hazard or Pedro or Willian or someone is up against him or Oscar.
Well, hopefully Danny Rose Oscar. Is floating in a...
Wait, no, no longer Oscar. I'm top pass. I'm thinking of ABB. I apologize.
Hopefully Danny Rose is floating in a back to tank and will be ready right. as soon as humanly possible.
Because I think to return to your point, Greg, just that Davis is a fine backup. I don't think we're going to really find someone who's going to be a second Danny Rose. So Davis is fine as a backup, but when we have to play him this many games in a row, I just get worried because he just becomes more and more of a liability, I think.
Especially by the time we get to a team of Chelsea's quality, which is
exactly. exciting.
We're probably going to touch on some of that stuff in a minute in terms of the FA Cup, which is coming up. But I want to talk about the other player who is doing a really good job in this game, which is Dele Alli. Dele is scoring an absurd amount of goals. He is really kicking on from last year, maybe in more of a finish. His finishing has improved more than some of the other aspects of his game, but he's really sort of turning into the player we all hoped he would be last year. What do you see as his ceiling, Vince? Like, where do you see Dele Alli kicking on from here? Because he's already having an extraordinary year at age. Like, he just literally just turned 21. And he's probably one of the best attacking midfielders in England. And, I mean, do you see him being – do you see him sort of settling into this sort of second striker role that Spurs are playing him in? Do you see him sort of growing more in terms of a passing midfielder? I mean, how do you see – I mean, where do you see Alli going from here?
Well, they're going to keep playing him the way they're playing him. There's absolutely no reason not to have him playing this support. Like, he's basically playing in the hole. I mean, if you want to call that – a second striker, if you want to call that like the number 10, whatever you want to call it. I mean, none of our players take up the same position all the time. You know, Harry drifts to the wings, Harry pops up in the middle. Dele makes those secondary vertical runs, but you know, he'll also come to the midfield stripe and pick up the ball too, you know? He's going to be playing that role. When we bought him, everybody thought, well, I thought, he was going to be like this classic box-to-box midfielder, and then Pochettino kind of identified that it factor very early and said, we need to make you like part of our attack or like a focal point of it. And it's just very clear that this is where he belongs. He's comfortable doing it. It gets the most out of all of his talents. As for what is his ceiling, I have no idea. What is he? He just turned 21 the other day.
Yeah.
There's no real way to know, is he going to become like that kind of like insane, you know, 30, 40, 50 goal a year guy, or is he just going to kind of, you know, and I say it like as a joke, like, oh, you're running the mill 20 goal midfielder. you know, that's not exactly a thing either. I don't know. It's just like he has that palpable like it factor. This guy's special, and sometimes you can't put your finger on it, but he just has that self-belief along with the ability to do crazy things on a football pitch. I could keep going on about it, but I wouldn't really be describing anything. He's just amazing, and it really is fun to watch him.
Willie, were you bothered by Gareth Bale was talking about if Dele Alli should go to Real Madrid this week? I mean, he got asked that question. It wasn't like he just came up with it on his own. Did that bother, concern, frighten you?
No, I mean, like, Bale is obviously going to get asked that question because people are going to be like, look at this, you know, midfielder who's scoring a lot of goals for a team you used to play for, right? Like, any player is going to get that question, but especially Gareth Bale, just given, you know, the reputation around Tottenham and the fact that we're a stepping stone club in some senses, and that Bale, you know, got his big break and then went to Madrid. No, I'm not worried about it because, I mean, there could come a point where Dele outgrows us, or we get offered an obscene amount of money from someone, and it's kind of like, okay, that happens. But I mean, right now, like, I still don't think that's not this summer, and it might not even be next summer, right? Like, it's still, there's a lot of stuff that's in play. So no, I'm not worried about it. I mean, it's a concern. I think anytime you have a player who's that kind of mercurial talent, who at 21, you know, has whatever, 26 goals for his team and almost has 20 goals in his second Premier League season, right? He doesn't have 20 yet, but he's almost at that number. And that's like, as a midfielder, it's stupid. And I mean, he doesn't even really play as a midfielder at times. He's more like a second striker. And it's just, it's incredible. And it makes sense that people are going to, you know, make the connections between him as this young kind of world beater, you know, to bigger clubs. And that's going to happen, and people are going to ask those questions, but I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to kind of enjoy the fact that he seems to be content and that he's playing so well and that we have this talent and that there doesn't seem to be at this point any reason why he'd want to leave, right? Like, it's just, everything is so good around the club that I'm kind of like, I don't want to worry about it. I just want to enjoy it.
No, that is a refreshing change in attitude from Spurs fans. One that I have probably not embraced to the level of which I should. But
you see, and I'll speak to that a little bit for me. Like, I've gotten to a point where I've just kind of been, you know what? I'm not going to worry about the rest of it, because it's like, you know, this could all end at any point.
This
period, and I'm just like, it's never been this good. So fuck the rest of it, and just like, we're kicking teams' asses and we have players who want to play and there's a team and there's a manager who everyone's committed to the same thing and it rules.
Well, and frankly, we're at a point where, I mean, you know, if we start losing, which could happen, like if things just don't go our way next year or whatever, but until we start losing, the only way we're going to lose players is if, like, the best teams in the world want to pick them off from us for ridiculous wages or we're content to let them go. And that's a situation, like, you know, like there's not many teams in the world who are going to stop a Real Madrid or a PSG or a Bayern Munich from, you know, raiding one of their players if they're really determined to do it. We seem at least able to do that with English teams, but yeah, it's pretty great. Everything's sort of going our way, and as long as everything's going our way, we don't really have to worry about, I think, losing any of our guys for the foreseeable future. But it's a nice change of pace.
It's a nice place to be, in a sense. Like, at least with the on-pitch thing, like, you can worry about what might be existing for scouting or, you know, how we do that, because that structure's up in the air. But, like, to just see, like, a team that's this great, I'm having a blast. Whatever. I'm having a great time.
Speaking of things that are a blast, Vince, I would like to give you this opportunity to sing the praises of the Premier League's best kept secret, Christian Eriksen.
Well, you know, yeah, Christian Eriksen is probably one of the most, I would say probably one of the most misunderstood players that I've watched in a long time. And I feel like misunderstanding players is a thing that, like, the press does a lot. But this idea, and I think somebody even wrote something, I didn't read the whole article, but they were talking about, like, Eriksen, you know, has become, like, the man for Pochettino and all this kind of stuff. And it just totally misunderstands that this guy's always been a beast in Pochettino's press. That this guy has absolutely always been, like, a physical presence. He doesn't do it in the way, like, Eric Dier does it. He doesn't do it with, like, kind of like the false bravado of, like, how Ryan Mason would run around, thunder around the pitch and throwing these crazy, like, unnecessary tackles. He just does it really quietly, really intelligently. But this guy is, like I said, I feel like he's really misunderstood, like, what he does for our team. And I'm cool with it. I'm good with Ben on that. Like, as long as people keep misunderstanding what an amazing player this is, like, hopefully nobody bigger than us comes and tries to buy him. You know, this match, I wouldn't say, like, he did anything, like, outside of the realm of what we expect from him. which just goes to show that we're used to seeing him do like amazing things every week. And his level of consistency since the beginning of the year has really been something to like behold, because I feel like people used to get on him a little bit because he would have these dips in form. And even at the beginning of the year, I believe he wasn't playing great. And people were just absolutely like on him. But since then, he's shut everybody up and he's been amazing. But like, I don't know what else I have to add to that. Like, you know, that's kind of like the weekly segment of Christian Eriksen's amazing. Let's just be so happy that we have him.
I know he's fantastic and he never gets linked to bigger clubs. It's incredible and I love it and I want him to never leave. I want us to like turn around in like 5 years and be like, how did we keep Christian Eriksen for his entire peak of his career? Like, you know,
hasn't Ben had a Twitter shtick where he like talks shit about Christian Eriksen? Like he does it like because he just like thinks it's hilarious that he doesn't want anybody to know how good he actually is.
Yep. Like all members in good standing of Wheeler Dealer Radio, he has a good bit that he's committed to.
That'll be your legacy, Greg.
It's a legacy I'm proud to stick with. So, bits and the preservation thereof. All right. Well, I think that's about it for Watford. We have let's talk very briefly about. I don't want to get too into the top four race because I'll feel like I'm jinxing something. But I mean, Willie, how glad are you that you're not an Arsenal fan right now? I mean, in general, you're always glad you're not an Arsenal fan, but things are not good for Arsenal right now.
Well, blood, well, fam.
Yes, blood.
I'm pretty happy.
Yes, fam.
Yes, fam. I'm voted, fam.
Do your thing.
It's quite the thing. And I play in the senior men's team that I play on. One of my teammates is an Arsenal fan, and he's who drives me to our matches. And conversations of late have been interesting because he's still like, he won't admit to the fact that he's sad about Wenger still holding on like this. Like he seems to be having a hard time reconciling with what's going on. And I just have to shut up because I don't want to say anything that's going to jinx anything. So. I just sit there quietly and let him vent.
Do you play Arsenal fan TV videos on the ride to the games?
I did it once. It wasn't a good thing. It didn't last very long. There was a face got red, steam coming out of the ears. I was like, okay, I'm going to troops off now. I've done my part.
Oh, delightful. Delightful. It'll be really frustrating when they win the FA Cup, but in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy it. So let's move on to some questions from our loyal listeners. Let's start with Haley Bachrock. She wants to know what Dustin from the site, our editor at Cartilage Free Captain, is going to do when he's infiltrated the Spurs locker room this weekend on his tour of the stadium. Because he, like everyone else on the site but me and Vince and Brian, will be attending the match this weekend. I don't know. Vince, what do you think Dustin is going to do when he infiltrates the locker room?
Yeah, well, first of all, can we talk about that? Like, how I feel like when in September, October, when I asked everybody, like, hey, you guys want to go in late February? I feel like you're like, that's a really good idea. We should all go together. Like, except we're not going to go the time you go. We're going to go in April instead.
I think it came together much later for everyone else than you and like you and Brian actually planned it out, and then. Like, I know Dustin had the GoFundMe, and, like, it just sort of fell together late for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because I think it's time to shit or get off the pot if you want to go to White Hart Lane. And
yeah, and, like, I feel like I'm having, like, throwbacks to, like, the cafeteria when nobody will sit with me, and then, like, everybody all goes off to recess and, like, doesn't tell me that. Anyway.
Don't worry, Vince. Don't worry. I'm right there with
FOMO,
you.
Serious FOMO, Vince. Serious FOMO.
But yeah,
you're missing out.
Yeah, something like that. But I think what Dustin's going to do once he infiltrates is he's going to somehow corner Dele Alli and Harry Kane and try to get them to play bluegrass music for the pregame. And then Dele Alli is going to make up, you know, some excuse to get out of there. But he's going to end up having this very sincere conversation with Harry Kane about bluegrass music. And Harry is actually going to be, like, really into it. So that's what I think is going to end up happening once he infiltrates.
Willie?
You know, I mean, that's a pretty good one. I would hope that I imagine Dustin has brought everyone their own individual churned block of butter to give to each player, maybe with their number on it or something.
Do you think, like, Harry's just going to, like, slowly inhale it as they're talking?
Oh, you know,
he's just going to, like, be just pushing it into his face. Like,
Harry Kane's going to unwrap the butter, look at it, and just start licking it, no doubt.
While he stares into Dustin's eyes as he, like, crams it in his mouth.
But, you know, I mean, I hope that happens. But I would hope that Dustin would somehow meet Eric Dyer, just because I think, like, they'd really get along. Because I think Eric Dyer's about probably the most interesting person to talk to on that team.
I mean, he is a caveman.
He seems like he's a goon on the field in a sense, but then he also seems like he'd be really just laid back to interact with. So I don't know. I would hope that Dustin would meet him, just because I would want to live vicariously through knowing what it was like to speak to Eric Dyer.
Well, we all know that Eric Dyer is the most cultured member of Tottenham Hotspur. So I think Dustin, you know, being a music professor, would just, you know, be able to talk to him about, you know, the role that music plays in our lives and how it can, you know, just enrich the soul and, you know, really just make someone's life worth living. And then they're going to start talking about the 1812 Overture, and Eric Dyer is going to start associating with the cannon fire that's supposed to take place during it, which is, of course, a form of fire. And then he's going to freak out and run out of the room. We're going to lose the game because Eric Dyer wasn't there. It's all going to be Dustin's fault. That's what I think is going to happen.
That's grim, man. That's some real heavy stuff.
It is. You know, much like Eric Dyer and Dustin. Another member of our illustrious masthead who is going to be in London is our very own Gary Root beer. That would be Ben Daniels. Alex Greenberg asked, what would Ben say if he came face-to-face with Sissoko while in London?
I'd like to take this one because I'm also going to be there this weekend, and okay. I would hope that I would be...
be there for that moment?
Oh, absolutely, because I can't even imagine what it would be. I can't even comprehend. They're like... God, who knows? Like, it would be incredible, I'm sure, but it, like, and I don't know if Ben would, like, make it a sarcastic remark to Sissoko, or if he'd just be sincere and be like, you're shit, mate. Like, you're shit. You're useless. Would it be more couched within, like, an insult, something subtle?
I think Ben would get really shy and just, like, say it's nice to meet him and ask him for a photograph. I don't think Ben would actually say anything to him. Vince, what do you think?
Where are they meeting?
It depends. It depends. You know how this podcast works. Create a scenario.
Okay, so I think if they meet, say, 3 days before the match, which would be tomorrow, and Ben is outside having a cigarette and Sissoko comes out of the club... I think what Ben does...
Is Ben intoxicated in the scenario?
He's in most scenarios. I just assume that we're all working off that baseline.
That is a good point.
I think he offers Sissoko a cigarette, and then when Musa, like, second-guesses it, he actually slaps him and drags him into the nearest cab and creates a whole kind of, like, you know, like, kidnapping situation. I think Ben hates Sissoko enough where he would actually kidnap him if given the chance to keep him away from the playing field. That's one scenario. I think if he met him in the locker room, I think he would be very polite. But then once again, you know, we have to go with the baseline that Ben is drunk. So I do think he definitely could get kicked out. And try to pick a fight with Sissoko. You guys really, really are underestimating how much Ben hates Sissoko.
The vitriol is real.
I think there's a lot of lengths he would go to. I think he would put himself in personal harm's way to get Sissoko off the team.
I think
Greg, what
talk.
Do you think?
I think he's all talk. I think he'd be overawed by Sissoko and probably the very nice handbag that Sissoko will be carrying with him, probably with some, you know, with some shower items in it. You know, I think he'd just be very, very, very just in awe of, you know, this large Tottenham Hotspur player. You know, I just think he would be, you know, just want a photo that he could make jokes about later. Much like when I met Tom Carroll and took a stupid picture of him. He would get his Mark photograph with Sissoko, and he could just make jokes about it later when Sissoko's not there with his toiletries. That's what I think. So Ben, you gotta prove me wrong, Ben. Not that he doesn't actually listen to this podcast when he's not on it, so yeah, that's what I think would happen. Our final question of the night is coming from Reno Wallabout, noted internet terrorist with very bad opinions about certain Tottenham players. He wants to know what you would give Dele Alli for his birthday. Vince, what would you give Dele Alli for his birthday?
I would give Dele Alli a template of a save the date for him and Eric Dyer and let him know if they decide to ever make it official, I'd be there for them. I would do anything to help the wedding date.
Willie, what would you give him?
Well, I mean, Vince just stole my whole idea, which was to give him something related to Eric Dyer. So I have to go back to the drawing board here. Thanks.
No, it's a good drawing board. Just stay there.
Yeah, no. But I mean, like, you got to think. I'd probably give Dele just a couples retreat package. For like a spa weekend at like a Nordic spa for him and Eric, you know, for the end of the season. So they could just go together, relax, bro out, you know, hang out in some hot springs, just really vibe out together as bros and continue to connect. So that way Eric ties him to the club and Dele never leaves us ever, ever, ever.
You wouldn't give him a vaping kit or something?
Bro, they're going to a Nordic spa. The vapes are going to be there. Trust me.
They're going to blow some cotton
all day.
They're going to blow some cotton. So I think, you know, as someone who is just, you know, months away from moving to New York City, I will undoubtedly be running my own artisanal bookbinding business in but a few short weeks. So as I start running my artisanal bookbinding business, I would use this and give Dele Alli a leather-bound copy of Arsenal fan tweets from the night that Jack Wilshere played Barcelona. And we could sit together in leather-bound chairs, which I would not bind because I bind books, not chairs. You know, we'd sit in those chairs wearing our smoking jackets with pipes, and we could look at these tweets, these curated tweets, in my very well-put-together leather-bound edition of Arsenal fan tweets, and we could laugh and chuckle. You know, and really have a grand old time. You know, that's I think that's what I would do.
I like in the scenario that you have Dele dressing like in a smoker's jacket and everything. I think the odds are much greater that he'd have you in like tight jeans, long coats, and like super bent brimmed hats.
I didn't say that he couldn't wear his torn jeans with this smoker's jacket. You know, I'm very. You know, I want to meet halfway here. But yeah, you know, I will wear a flat-brimmed, like, you know, Knicks hat if he really, you know, insists on it. I wouldn't be happy about it. But, you know, if he really wants me to wear that flat-brimmed, like, you know, I don't know, like, Yankees hat, but in, like, yeah. I don't know, like, well, I wouldn't wear a Yankees hat, but you know what I mean.
And Vlad's no fat chick shirt.
Exactly, exactly. Vlad's no fat chick shirt with like, you know, a Dodgers hat, but it with the color with like the Union Jack colors on the Dodgers logo. Like, if he wants me to wear all this, I'll be happy to accommodate Dele. But you know, as we read my curated leather bound book of tweets, that's what I would give him. That's what I would give Dele Alli for his birthday. On that note, I think it's time to wrap it up, guys. Willie, where can people find you on the internet, or can they not find you on the internet?
You can find me at my live journal, which is trashlad.livejournal.com.
Okay.
Where I keep up the hottest, you know, the hottest takes are found there. And otherwise, I'm on the Twitter machine.
I actually don't know if you're joking about that.
You don't ever know, man. I got a brand, and my brand. Well, and my brand grows.
The only brand I'm confident of yours is your LinkedIn, which you are the master of growth hacking LinkedIn. So,
I tell you, you gotta network. That's how you get ahead.
Vince, where can people find you on the internet?
People can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett Rainbow, where I can talk about all the rum-based drinks that Greg won't let me talk about on there.
There you go. There you go. And you can find me on Instagram at Brett Rainbow, where you can see pictures of all the great jokes I have that I don't tweet out because I'm not on Twitter. Or you can find me at my alt wrestling account at skipjack0079 on Twitter.com. By the way, I do not actually have an artisanal book binding business, but I am moving to New York in a few months, so if someone wants to pay me money to do things for them, please don't hesitate to reach out. And on that note, for Vince, for Willie, I am your host, Greg. Come on.